moms and everyone in attendance, if I have a little bit more energy than normal, it's because the children's ministry, their gift to moms this morning with Pastor Hannah, it was your favorite like coffee beverage. So I did an Americana. That thing is so strong. And I'm a coffee person, so I'm like, if I got a little kick, you're just going to have to go with it today. Because, yeah, it was very good, and I was very gracious as far as receiving. But boy, it had something in it as far as a little bit more caffeine than usual. Moms, happy Mother's Day. I'm so excited to share this message and unpack how does your garden grow with you. And I think that most of you that kind of journey with us, maybe you're a visitor here today, and so we're new to you. We really structured this day so that all girls, all ladies, ages, stages, our moms, of course, can take away, be a part, and really feel that they've been ministered to. So as Brad mentioned, I just want to thank the team that has worked so diligently behind the scenes, creating potting stations. Thank you, Pastor Dan. Even modifying, once we saw pictures, we're like, we're going to need two of those buckets. Carrie, who is serving in the 0-K age range for the pallet walls and all the other stuff that looks so amazing. The ladies that are serving in the lobbies now. Kelly, for doing those tickets for all of you as we move through so that you can put those in the containers next to the items that you would like to see yourself win. I hope you do, right? And just make sure as you exit today that you take advantage of, and you know, the tags will be put on the gifts. It's almost every Mother's Day, someone forgets to look if they've won. Now we try and find you. Occasionally we can't read your handwriting. And so I'm just going to say, if you put tickets in both, which you could in both lobbies, sashay down around, make sure, because they're going to be out there waiting for you. And we would love to bless you with that. Pastor Brad, I am calling an audible. Pastor Brad and I have this running joke, but it's really a reality. I laugh. I don't know if he does, but here is what it is. This week leading up to Mother's Day is for the AG Churches in Michigan Network Council. So Brad and I are back and forth to whatever location. This year it was in Flint. He ended up staying because he has responsibilities to start early in the morning, and I drove back and forth. Then we navigate some other things, and then here we are. And so the joke with Pastor Brad, he's like, when do you think your slides will be done? And then he looks at me. Midnight, right? I'm talking Saturday. And it's not that study hasn't happened and all the things, but it's just a really tricky element to get with everything that's going on to this place and space in a timely manner. So I say thank you to you that continually, last night I was early, 10 p.m. They were done. And so I didn't have a chance at the end. We're going to go, so be it, God. You so stole my ending, but I'm still going there, okay? That's how, yeah, we're in sync. And I have hijacked it a little bit. Julia, you saw me go. Julia's going to lead. We're going to do like the girls band. Mercy, you're going to come up. Where's Rachel? Is Rachel in the house? I think I saw her. Rachel Thomas, if you're here, we're just going to go. And ladies, yep, there you are. Join your mom today. Happy Mother's Day to my mom. It's so great to always have her here. And so as we kind of move into this place, I'm going to start with some questions regarding how does your garden grow? Now, I want you to raise your hand. Don't be shy, ladies, okay? How many of you are gardeners? You dabble or you're avid, somewhere in between? Yay. My hand's up. Yay. Okay, hands down. Number two, ready? Full disclosure. There is no shame in this, but we do require transparency. Who talks to their plants? Come on, come on, come on. Who talks? I do. Who talks? Okay, not as many. Oh, come on. All right. I talk to them when I transplant them. I'm not kidding. Because I love to garden. And so I'll say, you're going to like it. I've got a place over here. You've grown a little large. I have to split you. Or this just hasn't, the tree has really gotten bigger. So you're a sun plant and this is too much shade. And I do that. 100%, I talk to my plants. When I water them, a lot of times I'm like, oh, you look thirsty. Oh, and that means something different now, I know. But that, I mean that really they're dried out, okay? And so I'm like, you're looking thirsty. You look dried out. We'll take care of that. Or I actually apologize. I'll be like, I'm so sorry. I've been away or I've been so busy. I forgot. And the sprinklers don't reach you because we've expanded the garden into a new place. Okay, here you go. Who names their plants? I don't do that. Do you? Oh, thank you. Over there. Anybody else? Yes. Okay, we have some people. No shame in that. I'm sure they respond well, right? For me, and my mom would attest to this, my mom was born when my grandparents were in their 40s. And so I knew them as I came along. They were moving into retirement years. And they loved to garden. They had property out on a road away from their house where they had some chickens for a while, and my grandpa would plant, etc. And my grandmother, they loved to do that. And even at their home, while they had kind of downsized and some different things, along the fence line in the back, there were always flowers and vegetables. And I just love that. And as a result of that, as we began to, Brad and I, our first home, I started to dabble. And right up to when you came around the garage, there was a bed that walked up to the front door, and I started with flowers there. And they grew well. Do you guys know this story? Give you a little insight. Do you know this? We lived in that home. We built it. 18 months. And I liked that house. I picked everything out in it. I mean, like, on a big budget, it's your first house. But, like, I'm like, everything was tidy and it matched. You know what I mean? I came home one day from school, and my in-laws were visiting. And my mother-in-law said to me, how well do you like the house? I said, I like it a lot. And she said, I think the boys bought a new one and you're selling this one. I said, what? She said, yeah, I think the boys bought a new house, meaning my father-in-law and her son. Now, they did, and we moved. Now, if you know that I'm pretty, those of you that know me, you know I'm pretty boom, boom, right? That's what Eleanor calls it. You're really boom, boom. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, that, for some of you, may think that bothered me. It really didn't, because I was driving to Farmington. Our first house was at Chilson and Swarthout. Those of you that know, there's that railroad track. We were the new sub right there. And to get Farmington would have school when everything out here was closed, because they would do main roads only, right? I'm going somewhere, so it's a little history here. And so we moved over. You can see it across the expressway. They bought... Once we moved in, I could have wrung his neck, meaning like this. Because at first I was like, this is going to take 20 minutes off my drive because I'm right there by Pleasant Valley, right? I can just swing in, taking 20 minutes off my drive. It's a horrendous drive in the mornings, let alone snow. And I was at like 14 and Orchard Lake, Middle Belt, that whole crazy area. And so, but as we moved in, what we realized, the people we bought it from just used it as a summer home. I don't even know how it passed inspections. It was crazy. But I will say I found great solace in the summers. It was 52 steps from the top to the bottom. And it was terraced off. The garage was up here. And Kathy Giacino can attest to, she was coming to a small group at our house one night. And the stairs got kind of slippery. She came in wearing a chocolate cake because it was just a crazy time. But here I go with the gardens. But it had all this because the people that were there, they didn't care. They just put their boats and jet skis in the water and then flopped and had two teenage boys. Things became very clear once we moved in. And the dirt around there was just, as I'm saying, dirt. And so I began to move from dabbling at our first house, kind of moving up to the front door with that swath that had been cut, to creating pretty massive gardens on three different levels down to the front doors. And I loved it. And I began to talk to them. I began to move and transplant them. But then we moved into our third home. So we're on number three here. Almost one a decade, right? But a little bit more than that, because the first one, 18 months or shorter. Our third home that we bought, it kind of checked all the boxes regarding landscape. Someone had bought it, the economy turned down, and they, meaning downward, they were transferred back to Ohio. They just had to unload the thing, but they had had professional landscapers come in and put all kinds of stuff in. And at first glance, I was like, this is amazing. I was a little bit sad because I'm like, there's not much for me to do. It's pretty defined. But what I began to realize while it checked all the boxes, there was an oddity as I lived there a couple of years regarding blooms, things that didn't bloom, etc. And I learned that it was the soil. Now, are you guys aware? Here's another question. Do you know there's such a thing as a soil doctor? Do you know that? Do you know there are degrees? Let me read. It's a certified professional soil scientist. Convoy of Hope employs individuals to travel around the globe, do soil examination in villages and things of that nature, and then tells them, if you add this, here are the crops that you can grow to sustain life, etc. So I didn't have access to Convoy of Hope soil scientists, okay? But I could visit the local nurseries, and I could talk to some people, landscapers, and I began to understand that there were going to be definite challenges because the soil, I just assumed, unlike house one and two, I just threw stuff in the ground and it grew. Even at the lake house where I call it the lake house. Doesn't that sound really plush? It was a disaster. Because Brad and I both said, we'll gut it. We were in this whole rehab. So I called, I got to digress for a moment. So I called, what's this cabinet country? KM. I called them to come out and look at the kitchen because we're like, we're going to start here. They said, here's the deal. These aren't even real walls. I'm like, what are you talking about? They're like, it's like corkboard. I'm like, what? And so Brad's like, just patch it up. We'll sell. So, okay. So we did that for 12 years. Just patch. Everything we looked at needed thousands and thousands of dollars. And Brad, we took the cabinets apart 1 year. Remember this? I'm telling ones that make you look good. This is good stuff. It's okay. Anyways, he's so sensitive. All right, so we took the cabinets off. I asked you to do it. I can own that, okay? And we started to try and put them on. Those had been jerry-rigged too. So we were doing it, and I just went in the bedroom. He's like, go, because I was, you know, Miss Critique, right? I know you find that hard to believe. So as he was trying to put the screws back in, we couldn't do it. And I had puttied everything, right? Painted them. And it was running through. Do you remember the sound? It was horrific. And we had people coming for a small group thing within like 24 hours. My dad's brother was in town, his older brother. And he's the kind of guy, he's seriously a MacGyver. He worked for the Air Force, Navy. I mean, he was all over, lived on destroyers. And he would even worked with the engines that the guys that go into space and come down, the Apollos and things like that. So he's that guy. One time I had a car and it just kept stalling out. And I said, Uncle Jim, can you help? He was visiting. We always just abused him when he visited. He had to fix everything. And he's like, go get me a paperclip, a rubber band, and a pencil. I did. Car ran for like, what, 2 years? Yeah, I never asked. And then we had a guy come buy it, and he said, I thought we have to be fair about the engine. This is what's holding it together or whatever. He said, I don't care. I've got one of these engines. I need the body. I'm like, praise God. So there you go. But anyways, we got so many stories about Uncle Jim. He came and fixed our cabinets, made them look like they should look. And Brad and I, when we sold that house, we were like, oh, thank you, God. But we moved to the third house. That the soil type, regardless of all the internal problems in house number two, things grew like crazy there. It was nutrient rich. And I am getting to this. I'm almost there. I told you the coffee. I told you. You're in for it. Okay. So here we go. Soil. I mean, I know my body. I mean, I'm just like, whew, soaring. Okay. So third house soil type, definite challenges. Segueing now into our lives, ladies. Moms, girls, ladies. All ages and all stages. We're going to look at Matthew 13. How does your garden grow? I'm going to create context as we look at this because there's something about soil types that are so important regarding the soil of our lives. And sometimes if we are not careful, we can just assume, like I did, that things will grow because they did in the past or they did in another location. And there is going to have to be times when we take a step and we move towards introspection regarding the soil of our lives. Because we want the garden of our lives to grow, to bloom, and to be a place not just of beauty, which they are, but also a place where others can experience the beauty visually, the smells, and participate with us and go on a journey with us as our garden grows well. So let's go to the next slide where we see Matthew 13. And there's a parable, as I've said. Now, if you're unfamiliar with this, I'd like to create common context so everybody feels like they're moving along with. And as we look at this, Jesus is the one sharing. And the seed that is being thrown out is the word of God, spiritual things, right? And the soil types, it's you and me. And I kind of just did a really quick, and I just wrote down the types of soil, but I'm going to unpack it a little bit. So that number one, the hard path, the roadside soil, it's hardened. And I thought, I'm going to investigate that. I love to do that. That's just me. I could be in school all the time. I'd love to learn. I love to kind of disaggregate things and look at it. And so I looked at this and I'm like, you know, as I'm Googling and as I'm researching, and it says this, it's a path that's been beaten down. It's a path that's been traveled a lot. It's a path that's compacted. It's had a lot of busyness on it, but there's an indifference. It's kind of utilitarian. It's just a trail or a path that people are taking. The rocky soil, there's some possibility actually there for the seed, but it's not sustainable because it's so shallow that the sun and the heat, because it lacks depth, it can't make it. Now remember, this is the sower is Jesus throwing seed that's spiritual in orientation on the soil of our lives. And so as we're looking at this, the thorny soil, I found this interesting. And yet as a gardener, I kind of get this as I started to think about it. There's potential in the thorny soil, but there's dual occupancy. There is competing loyalties. If you are a gardener, some of you raised your hand, many of you actually, you understand what I am talking about. I already see weeds coming up that are going to try and threaten my plants. You know, that's not happening. I mean, I will remove them, right? But see, this is what I'm talking about. I, as the gardener, will go remove those because they're going to take up the water supply, the nutrients. They're going to take up the stuff that my plants need. And in our lives spiritually, see, we're going to have to uproot some things at times. How does your garden grow? It's going to depend on the soil type of your life. Just like it does at your home, if you are a gardener. And if you're not, the visual imagery, I mean, you're with us. You can do this. And my prayer for you, as it is for me, because it's work, is that we will have good soil. And, you know, I couldn't leave it there because I'm like, that's too easy. I would say that to my students when I taught. They're like, you know, that they would write something. Yes, that's good. I'm like, not good enough. Give me some examples. Okay? That's too easy for you. You need to give examples that show that you've thought about it and kind of moved in directions. And so I do the same to myself. When we talk about good soil, I want to unpack that for you in this way. And this is that. Good soil, and maybe I'll just throw a question at you for a minute because we've done some questions before I answer the question. What do you think spiritually, ladies, would be the definition of good soil? What would be the elements? Just like I had to add at that third house, elements into the soil to get certain plants to bloom, I had to kind of look at what was going on with the soil and say, okay, can this plant, even if I add some things, can it make it here? Does it need to be moved? Or can I not even use those plants at all? They just put them in without thinking about, right? And so if I ask you, just rhetorically, what do you think, girls, makes good soil for our spiritual gardens to grow? Now I'm going to answer it because I don't want to leave it with just good soil. It's too vague. Here's what I put down. Good soil starts with a good heart. What is a good heart? A good heart is receptive to spiritual things. It's receptive. It receives it. But it doesn't just stay there as a receptor. It then has a continuation element where there is something that takes root. So a good heart is receptive. If I were to do like receptive equals, you hear what the Spirit's saying. If I would go deeper to define that good heart, I would say continuation equals you're trying to make sense of it and understand it, applying it to your life. You with me? Because good soil is important. Because I'm talking about our lives blooming. I'm talking about all the God dreams blooming. I'm talking about all the loss and grief being restored with resurrection power to joy and fulfillment. Good soil matters in our lives, girls. And if I go receptivity, continuation, where there's roots that take place, and then cultivation, there's acts. Just like I said, I have to go remove those weeds on the thorny soil. We have to at times remove things that try and take root that God has not asked us to own. So do I need to repeat that? A good heart equals good soil. And the three elements that I'm saying that we would put that would create the nutrients for a good heart in the soil of our lives are a receptivity to spiritual things, a continuation where we allow things to take root and where we understand and we pray for understanding, and then a cultivation that equals acts. We're involved in things then that the Spirit is saying. So that good soil isn't just like, I'm good soil. It's busy. And I don't mean busy just to be busy, because that can become, can I tell you the danger of this? See, that busy thing becomes a hardened path really easy. I'm busy. I'm active. How many of you have that map stuff on your car? I have it, and it shows how many times I've been. It has all the little arrows. I've got certain travel patterns, places I go. Those things are beaten down. I want to go in the spiritual realm where he wants me to go. I want to hear his voice. I want to be obedient to his call. And I want to have a soil type within my life that when I get a little messed up, that I am so sensitive to what he's saying that I can begin to take and move in ways where I say, okay, heart, we got to remove some of this stuff. We've got to hear, we've got to understand, and we've got to act in a way where we are pleasing him. And so the parable that you see here that many of you know, I'm just making application to us today to say we can fall victim as Jesus followers to any of these. Like the good soil, it requires things of us. It requires things of us. And that takes us to our next slide. It's our responsibility to keep the soil of our lives in good conditions. And you know, that sounds like, yeah, that's what we do. We're Jesus followers. We're women of God. We're, you know, all these cliches, right? Those aren't bad. But there is a practicality to this that we've already alluded to, that there is hard work involved. Gardening is hard work. Gardening takes commitment. Gardening means that you are a part of something and believing as you put either seed in the ground or a plant or a sapling that something else is coming, right? And then we continue to monitor so that we supply what is needed, meaning in the real gardens of life. And when we feel that it's just kind of too much, and I get that. Moms, I get that. We're tired. There's limited sleep, there's new routines, there's constant change. We understand, and moms, I'm here with you, and this isn't, we're not asking for sympathy, it just is what it is. We understand that so many times, nothing's really about us much anymore. You know, I mean, it's just not. And that's not a bad thing. That's not like a martyr complex, that's not like a woe is me. That's a, I'm here for you. But there's a responsibility to keep our lives in a certain way for our children because we want to see them. We can't give away what we don't have. We can't. And so as we think about this, I just ask you that same question. What are you doing regarding the soil of your life? As a Jesus follower, as a woman who knows her God, as a woman who wants to be a blessing in her home and to her children, church, community, workplace, all of it. As they say, all the things, right? What does that look like? Because as we move through, there'll be things that try and say, it's too much. Come on, we know the thought patterns that come. it's too much. Just maybe. And there's times. But I want to just say to some of you here today, ladies, if you're in a place where there's some weeds that need to come out, but you know the work. I don't know what this is about because I'm not a soil doctor or a horticulturalist, you know, in a real way. I just dabble. But those weeds, those root systems, they're crazy. They fight you. My plants come up most of the time so much easier than the weeds. But I want to say to you, digging it up is worth it. Cultivating the soil of your life is worth it. Even through elements of tiredness, fatigue, frustration. But let me share, I'm going to go to this next slide. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. But I want to talk to you. Now, in these boxes, I really became aware of this when I began to work with foster care. Because most of our kids that we work with, I say most, intentionally, they go to extremes. But can I just say to you, in one of these boxes, in a survival mechanism, because that's how to, and then we have to meet their needs with these. But I want to talk to you about soil types and just take the top categories. Fight, freeze, fawn, flight. All of us are one of those. And some of us are more than one. So don't let the, I don't do that. Okay, it's okay. All right. But I want you to think about all of us have reaction patterns when we're stressed, when things aren't going our way, when we're tired, when there's something that, as we call, has triggered us. And what I want to say to you is not that you would do some really deep assessment, but I want to challenge you that with this. I think it's about question number 5. What box, ladies, do you fit in? And I'm saying some of these descriptors, you know, maybe bring it down. You know, like a paint color chart, you start with like the light and you go all the way down to the dark. I get that we're at the dark, let's take blue. I get that we're at like midnight navy blue, okay, with what the reactions are here. But you might be farther up the paint, what do they call it, like a paint chip? Yeah, whatever. You know what I'm talking about, the color thing that shows you all the different colors that come that relate to that family of colors. And so when you think about fight, freeze, fawn, and the different elements that are listed here, I want you to think about and see the beautiful garden God has for your life. And this is going to play a part because depending on what box you fit into, the soil of your life is going to be challenged here. So if you draw a line every time, so let's go with fight. That's easy. That's an easy one. If every time you're upset, you know, or something gets you, you draw a line, that's the box you're in, right? And yet God is saying, maybe you should ask a question. Maybe you should seek to understand. Maybe you should try to move in ways where there's more collaboration versus drawing lines and taking a side. I'm not saying there aren't times to take sides, but I'm just using that one as an example. That when we're talking about our soil types, we're made a certain way. We have DNA. We've inherited, we've seen certain things in some people, certain things have been modeled. Do you get what I'm saying? And Mom, Dan, you did a great job on Wednesday of sharing some cycles that you and Joy have broken. And I'm not going to share those, but that was really cool to hear what you guys have done intentionally. That there were some things in a family dynamic that Dan and Joy had to say, we're not going to move in that box. We're going to move differently. And now I'm going to say, ladies, there are some of us that we are being defined in certain ways, whether we've made decisions or we grew up in certain ways, and we have to take and say, I'm going to remove that from the soil of my life, and I'm going to believe the Lord to deposit new stuff in. We're going to break cycles. We're going to start new. We're going to be who He wants us to be, and our soil is going to look like the soil that He can use. Does that make sense? And so I'm not staying here long. I'm already going to move. But I believe that these gardens that He has for us, I see them. I see our lives and the beauty that He wants. As we pose that question, how does your garden grow? We have to investigate the soil types. And you already see Mr. Worm has come up, okay? And Mr. Worm, I had this on here. How many of you, again, another question, How many of you know the value of a worm in the garden? Quite a few of you. You know, I never waste a good worm. If I'm digging around and they're there, I talk to them. I'm like, oh, you need to go back down. And I put them back, I dig holes for them. And if I find a lot in one space, I'm like, oh, I'm going to move you. I put them in my pots because they are so amazing in what they do. Now, let me tell you what I'm talking about as we talk about the soil of our lives. There's no condemnation as we looked at those boxes. There's freedom in Jesus, right? And he starts with us where we're at. But so many times, the solutions that he has for the soil of our lives require kind of a deep dive. They're underneath. They're not seen. And too many times, we can begin to dismiss what God is saying and wants to do in the soil of our lives, girls. And we can say, oh, that's irrelevant. What's really the point? It's unnecessary, redundant. And there's this avoidance to let him change the composition of the soil in our lives. And yet we know he's speaking to us. Because what God wants to do in the soil of our lives, I put this in here. I looked at his face. Again, a graphic designer did him. He looks kind of puzzled. And I put that on purpose because when we first start letting the Lord do something new, even if we've known him a long time, it can feel really uncertain. We can feel like, I don't know if this is really, I want to step into this. And yet, what is underneath in our lives, the things that happen internally with us that we allow the Lord to really orchestrate, begin to do things much like, do you want me to spell it out for some of you? Do you know that that worm, it burrows and creates tunnels, which increases oxygen and drainage? Do you know that when you have elements and landscapes that have the right amount of worms, okay, that they increase productivity by 25%. And they do this amazing thing that they go down into deeper layers and bring up, okay, into the new layers and do a remix of the soil that keeps it rich organically. I love this. They said they're like the ecosystem engineers. And you might say, well, Rhonda, thanks for the bio lesson. But here's my thing. What are you allowing to burrow into your life in a good way? What are you allowing to come in and to create greater capacity and to generate healthier soil? What is it? Because the Lord never just says, you're good. Because, you know, there's not one good. No, not one. We don't have it all figured out. There's always new things he wants to do. And even when he's getting to transition us, he will change the composition of the soil of our lives. And so my question, girls, is to each of us, I've asked myself these questions. What is it that I'm allowing to happen under the surface that creates greater capacity for my garden to bloom? That creates greater health for my garden to bloom? Because he wants to use, just like the worms, whenever I see them on the driveway, and by the time I get there, they're usually so sad. Like when it's rained a lot and they're all over the place and I'm serious. I'm like, what a waste of a good worm, you know, because I would gather them up. I would put them places and I'm not playing. I do because I know the value. So here's my question. Do we know the value when God speaks and asks us to do things differently and allow him to come in and to go through the soil of our lives to stir it up so that things begin to happen differently? With greater capacity for the blooms of our garden to grow. Now, I'm on the next slide, you're like, Rhonda, I'm just trying to stay with you. I get it. This scripture is from Ecclesiastes 7:2. And it's Solomon speaking. And I want to talk to you again about the soil. I'm not trying to promote depression or morbidity. There's none of that. There is a direct correlation to this scripture that if you were to read it in its entirety, I learned more at a funeral than a feast, that has elements that contribute to our development and the soil of our lives in a really positive way. Because as we already said, it is our responsibility, girls, to create and to maintain a soil that God can use to grow what he wants to grow, to help us bloom so that others can see and be impacted. And what Solomon is saying is this: at these places, because if you know the story of Solomon, wisest man, right, besides Jesus, richest man, I mean, he had it going on in the Old Testament. I mean, he was the king. All the stuff. Other people came from faraway countries to see Solomon, to hear Solomon. And he writes this in a way that he is saying, how much real reflection do you do? Because when you're at a feast, it's a party. It's fun. And he's not saying don't feast and have fun. But he's saying in those environments, when you're celebrated or you're with people, there's it's conversation that's more surface. It's not deep. He's like, do you have the deep places where there's a sobriety to your life, where you reflect and you ask yourself the questions about your life, where the trivial is here and the things that matter are here and the priorities begin to align and the soil is enriched so that things can be planted that the Holy Spirit has been speaking to us about so that we will bloom and we will engage in a culture that needs Jesus followers who are real, authentic, and are saying yes to his plans and purposes without understanding all that it really involves. And so as we think about this, here's my question. Have you found a place? Because it's not always going to be at a funeral home. He's using that to draw contrast, right? Okay, that's the goal. Good writers do that. He's using something everybody gets. They get a funeral and they get a feast. If you want to use the word party, some translations say that. But he's using contrast on purpose. And he's saying, do you have a place? And I'm asking us today another question. Where's your place where you find greater connectivity with God, ladies? Where's your place where distractions are minimized, where there's a renewed sense of clarity, and you can reflect on what's valuable versus trivial? Now, can I just tell you, and some of you may be in this spot, when I was a newer mom, and I told my kids this morning, like, I'm not paying you, you know, like some pastors pay their kids if they use them as examples. I'm like, there'll be no payment. I lived through this, okay? Like, this is my life. So Eli's got his head down. That's fine. All right. And Eleanor's downstairs, but I already told him there's no payment. All right. Because, yep. As I was a new mom, they're what, 2 years and 3 months apart. So I had to find, and I think that was the exact time that the Persingers left to take the church in Indy, Peoria. And so Brad said, can you step in? I'm like, oh yeah. You know, right? We prayed about it. I'm like, oh yeah, I can. Well, then I'm thinking, this is a little crazy because I'm outing myself here. I didn't have a lot of space to connect with God. I couldn't minimize distractions, but you know what I did? And I'm just challenging you. I challenge myself to do this. I'm like, what can I do? Because we knew that the Lord was saying it was only for a certain time. It was super complicated, to be honest, not with the Persingers, but just me doing that. And so I would go to Kensington Metro Park, no lie, and I would drive them, put them in like a milk coma, you know what I mean, and drive them around. I would pull up either to that East Boat launch, or I would go to the Nature Center, and I would pick a really nice spot that I could look out, and I would let them sleep. And I told Brad, the car will be running. I mean, you know what I mean? And then I would do my Wednesday night prep there. The Rangers would drive by because they have those white SUVs. And I know they were tagging my plates because I went there all the time. And I just, back here. I'm just saying, sometimes it's crazy. Sometimes it's easier. But as we think about how do we get to a place, I needed a place where I could go and not a party. The party was easy. I'd take the kids. People would say, come on. I mean, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I needed a space where the soil of my life was being cultivated. So I had something actually to give away to kids, to youth on Wednesday nights. And so my question, moms, is do you have that space where you're letting him work under the surface like the worm, not in a depressed mode, but in an inspiration mode, so that the soil of your life is being fed You're just going to, I mean this in all sincerity, we all got to figure it out. And the older we get, it doesn't really get easier. It just morphs and changes. But then you figure it out again. But owning our soil is our responsibility. Allowing God to work under the surface, our responsibility. Totally have to be careful not to dismiss. And then we have to teach our children, same, receptive hearts. Hear, understand, and act in ways that align with his purposes. And simultaneously, because we're in this, how does your garden grow? So we've looked at under the dirt, right? The worm. Now we're going to look at the bee. And as we look at the bee, I want to say another question. Do you recognize the importance, the significance of pollination in your life? Two separate things happening. Soil underneath and then the above that you can see. And I know some of you recognize there's been a lot in the news about bee populations and their value and all that. And I understand that. I also see there's people that don't cut their, like I see these things. That, we have a person that on one of our drives, they participate in this. I know because when they first moved in, I'm like, what is going on with that yard? You know, it's like up to here. I'm like, because it's just not a norm. And then I realized, oh, there it coincides with like this bee season. I don't mean to, if you do that, that's good. But the bee season thing, I don't do that. I'm like, get that grass cut. But the bee season deal, we have so many bees because we back up to on one side of us woods. So I'm like, we're good. But it's something about how bees pollinate, etc. But as we look at this, I want you to think about, how are you, ladies, being pollinated? I mean, how are you under, right, the worm, stimulating different things in the soil, but then what's coming to you on more of the surface it's seen? And here, if you want a definition, it says pollination ensures plants can create offspring and sustains ecosystems by supporting life. Do you know that 1,000 plants require help? I would put, we're not plants, but we're people. We require help. There have to be things coming into our lives that are pollinating our lives that help with the garden of our life. And I put down here this morning, do you know that one of the things that has to have pollination as far as a crop? Coffee. I'm like, don't cut your grass. That works for me. Okay? Works for me. All right. With the garden of our lives, regardless of how tired, triggered, right, whatever box we fit in with our soil, my question number 8, as I think about how does your garden grow, is this, and I've already alluded to it. What is it that you're doing right now that creates pollination? So think of the definition, right? I'll read it again. It ensures, and let's put ourselves, it ensures that we can sustain life. Life. Not just making it, but life. I put down some things and you have to make it your own. This is something that we've talked about before. But as we think about it, you know, are there podcasts? Are there worship CDs or whatever it is you're, you know, into now? As far as technology, what does it look like? Playlists? Can I tell you my playlist as I am pollinating myself and my children now includes like Josiah Queen, and I knew who NF was because he's here from Michigan, but now got lots of, I mean, so when we're pollinating, and I'm talking to moms for a minute, our lives are going to look different because we're not only pollinating ourselves, does that make sense? But with scriptures and things of that nature and with worship, but we talk about, I heard Brad last night and Eli talking about some things. There's pollination that occurs organically, but as I've already said, moms, you've got to have it going on in your own life in order to be able to share it. And that's an incredible thing when we get to share as our kids are getting older. And Eleanor has like a favorite song. I won't say it. I really can't remember the title. But, oh, I know. God is in the story. She loves that song. And as we move through with our people, it is imperative that we have what it takes in the soil of our lives, Mom. You can't give up. You can't acquiesce.
You can't say pick someone else. It's too hard. It's too much. Because he's picked you. And just as, I thought this was so cool, just as the bees are used, honey, can I have a Kleenex? I think that fell out when I was trying to put my lozenges in. Kind of a train wreck, but that's okay. All right. Thank you. As we think about the pollinization and the bees, I was looking at this other element. And again, it's all about gardens. We're taking a little break from maybe some other traditional studies. But I put here, and moms, think about this. Ladies, think about this. Do you know that bees use pollen for food? And they convert it to energy for extended time periods. Have you ever needed a little energy? Have you ever needed to extend your energy for a certain time period? Daily worship, daily devotions. Sounds so like checking boxes, but man, when we are endeavoring to be who he's called us to be, girls, there's nothing that can replace that. And just as that bee pollinates those plants, so he pollinates our lives when we invite him in. And then we have relationship with others. And we grow and we support each other. And so as we go to the scripture in Colossians, it says here, so then, just as you receive Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him. And I put this down, and I've already again alluded to it. This word continue means to proceed, to carry on, to persist. You know, many times it looks like the bee, what they use the word, it flits. You've heard that word before. It flits. It moves rapidly from place to place, flower to flower, zips around, right? But all of that movement is on purpose. All of that movement is meaningful. It's maintaining an action for an extended duration as it's out on assignment. And as we are moving in this world, he has assignments for us. You know that. And I looked at this. And I want to say this to some women. Some of us are called to every flower on the screen and more. Like we are called to do a lot of different things. But I want to challenge some of you, ladies. Be careful of the comparison trap. Because do you know that there are certain bees that are called only to pollinate a certain flower or plant? I didn't know that. That there are certain bees that are only called, well, I guess God can call them, he made them, but they are only directed to a certain flower or plant their whole lives. And that's all they do. And I want to say, and yet their purpose is on purpose. And if you feel as you're looking about like, oh, they do this, 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 be careful, girls, because God may be singular in focus with you. Don't look at that as somehow less. Embrace it and move in ways where you are able to feel valuable and not fall into that comparison trap, because God uses us all differently. We know this. This isn't an original statement. I'm aware of that. But remind yourself that you're created. You're his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do the good works he's prepared in advance for you. And so when we begin to compare, when we begin to look about, no, they're on this, this. No, if he's got you singular right now, be okay with that. Embrace it. Because there's another thing that I thought compelling about honeybees. As they move from flower to flower, that they collect pollen on their legs. And as they return, do you know what that is for? It is to feed the younger bees. And I want to say to us, moms, ladies, that as we are living life with the assignment he has, cultivating the soil, allowing ourselves to be pollinated by him and others, that there's something that happens, as I've already alluded to, you have things to give away. You have, as you have been out pollinating and as you've been pollinated, you then have elements to give to the younger bees, to your children. And you see on the screen, here's some more recent pictures of our group. And I put these on as far as just as we are raising, and I'm moving now towards moms raising kids. But even if you're empty nester, you know, this never stops. My prayer is that the young bees in our household will continue to receive sustenance because I have positioned myself correctly regarding soil and allowing my life to be pollinated. And it's easy when one of those boxes, and like I said, I didn't, but it's easy when one of those boxes starts to define us to isolate and pull back. Can I just challenge, engage, be present, and take back what the enemy is trying to define in your life. And begin to say words. Remember I talked about talking to your plants? Talk to yourself. I'm going to work on this soil. I'm going to work on these things. I'm going to, and then you make a list of what needs to change. I am going to be pollinated. I don't feel like praying today. I don't feel like doing this today. But you make a conscious choice because moms, you're people. They need what you have, really at every age and stage. And so, you know, it's moved away from things like, for us, walks on trails at Kensington, going to the farm. You know, I did a season pass at Greenfield Village Henry Ford for years because both my people are very, at least at that time, very active. And if you can see, I couldn't do the museum, but I could take them in the big red wagon my parents bought us, that radio flyer, right? And I could start, and then I could let them out, and they'd run all over, and I could watch. And I could move in ways where we could have community, and we could talk, and there was pollination. Do you know what I'm saying? It doesn't have to be a Bible study all the time. That's not what I'm talking about. You ought to be up on it. We're the adults in the room. Okay? We ought to be up on it, but we share with them, too, in ways that make sense on their journey and listen. And I know that's hard. But now it looks like you see that picture getting up at dawn to wish two people well on the turkey trot. It changes. It looks like hockey games, chanting Red Wings. I love sports, so that's okay with me. It looks like dance recitals. It's changed. And yet, here's what I'm saying. The pollination happens, yes, spiritually, but also with us as we create memories. And as we move in ways that are so real with our people. And I know, like this picture of the kids in the middle, just the two of them. I put that in there just because I remember there are times when they aren't like trying to take each other out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yes. So that's a good one for me. It pollinates my life. I have certain pictures I look at. I'm like, oh, that feels good. That feels good. And we know it's not all about feelings, but the feelings are involved. And as we, on purpose, allow our lives to be pollinated, he's at the center. He's helping us. But I always do these little mom moments, and it's really good for everyone to hear, to be quite honest, because the challenge is real. Not just because we have to continually present ourselves through acts of obedience, to be pollinated and work on the soil, but because there are things in place that in many ways are trying to replace us. And I'm not saying this is some big evil scheme, okay? I'm not a huge conspiracy, not that I, okay? That's not what I'm doing here. I'm giving you information because I do think it's important that as we raise our people moms, we're aware. And there's a video coming from a man named Dr. Newfield. And I want you to understand, you know, I showed Dr. Becky last year and she talked about the tension between knowing and not knowing. And yeah, so that was last year. This year I'm showing you something. And again, this started coming at me as I was working with kids in care because so many times they have a hard time attaching because the relationships have just been so volatile, right? And so I started hearing and seeing, but then I'm like, oh, this applies to across the board. And so I want you to watch, it's just 48, 49 seconds, and then we're going to unpack it a little bit, and we're starting to wind it down regarding how does our garden grow. But I think it's important for us to understand some aspects that are called artificial attachment. Our kids in care struggle, and many times they create artificial attachment. And then I realized, and which is happening mainstream, this is pertaining to our kids in general. And so I want you to watch this, and there's a chart, and we're going to talk about it. But as we grow our gardens, I think it's important that we also understand, just like I said, about plants needing to be, might even be the right soil, but they're not getting enough sun, right? I think it's important that we keep up on some things that are perhaps trying to pollinate in ways that would be unhealthy. And this short clip really riveted me. And like I said, I don't know Dr. Neufeld. I can't attest to all his right belief system. But this component, I think, for us as parents, grandparents, is really important that we understand. Let's go ahead and play that clip.
Digital play is depersonalized pursuit of attachment. It uses the attachment circuitry in the brain. In other words, it diminishes or depresses or suppresses the appetite for true relationship. You lose the desire for being with mom and dad and siblings and for that kind of thing. So we need to be really careful because these are attachment appetite suppressants. They fulfill the hunger without ever nurturing. And so they become incredibly dangerous to family relationships because they suppress the appetite for togetherness. And that appetite has to be strong, and the family needs to be the answer for that.
This is what, before I saw this video, I had seen enough to say with the digital elements, right? And remember, we're talking about pollination of what you're allowing to come in. And we want to be pollinated in the right ways. And I'm not saying no technology or anything like that. That's none of my business what you do. My responsibility is, I feel, to present some elements, as I call them, like mom moments of things I'm working on. And so my kids know, I'll say, hey, time to go touch some grass. Now, it may look like snow. They know what that means. We've coined that phrase. You may do it in all kinds of different ways, but I'll say that's enough of that, technology, this. And I'll just, they don't like it. It's not like I'm like, they're like, oh, thanks, mom, for pollinating in the right way. You know, they think I'm an app. They just, you know, I don't know exactly what they think. I don't care. But, you know, I mean, I just move on. I'm like, this is what's going on. Pack it up, put it away. And we go, and you know, inevitably, it's harder. Because, like, for example, when I would say, okay, we've had enough, we'd go to Genoa, which I saw the young marrieds are going to. There's a great sledding hill there. And so we went there. I still remember this so vividly. I'm like, okay, we're going to get out. It's been really cold, but we're going to go sledding. And I take Eli and Eleanor. They have their own things. And Eleanor's probably 6, so that makes Eli 8. I can do the math there. And so I said pointedly, now I'm telling you, this is hard work. It's so much easier to do the electronic stuff. We get to that hill, and I saw, because this had happened, I said, now, guys, we're not doing this right here, because some kids inevitably go, and it says, don't build ramps, but they build ramps. Those things shoot you, you know, and it's dangerous, unless you really know. So I'm pushing Eli, you know, just to give him a push, and I look, and sure enough, Eleanor is lined up, and it's cold. There's very few people on the hill. Sometimes it's packed. And this man says she's going to hit it dead on. I'm like, of course she is. She hits it dead on. She flips, does a summer. I mean, like, it's a mess. And then goes down on her face. I got her in a little pink snowsuit. You know, she's 6. She stands up. It's like purple red. And I still remember this because we always took extra sleds. I grab the big plastic one, and the guy's like, what are you going to do? Because she's screaming and crying, and Eli's just looking at her. He's like, yep, she needs you. You know, I mean, he's not going. Yep, mom, that would look like you. And so I said to the guy, I'm going to, because I can't walk it. I mean, you know, and she's screaming and crying, and there's blood now in the snow. And so I get on, and I wish I had now. I didn't feel like it then. But I'm talking about life. Touching the grass, in this case the snow, getting off of the artificial attachment, okay? And I take this sled, I jump in it, and of course it turns me backwards.
I'm going down the whole hill backwards. I don't know if I'm going to hit her again and like break her leg. I mean, I'm just like, oh my word. You know, he handled it. She was fine. It was a mess. But yeah. But all I'm saying to you is it's not easy. It's messy. That's why I love the picture in the middle where they're smiling. It's controlled. It's contrived. I'm like, smile for the camera, right? But as we continue, moms, and for some of you that have really big influence on grandkids or neighbor kids, I mean, what you're doing, can I just say to you, this chart, you can read it. I don't have to read that for you, but you'll see what's happening here. And that's why I'll say, and Brad will attest to this, we just go and play pickle sometimes, you know, and it, inevitably someone gets ticked off because they really didn't touch me, you know, and this kind of thing. Wiffle ball stuff, and it goes into the neighbors on the roof or in a tree. We got to go. Can I just tell you, that's the kind of stuff that helps pollinate your kids and grandkids because they have to learn how to work some stuff out. Look at this chart, and this is what, again, I am immersed in this because of some things with foster care, but I'm getting more immersed in it. If you look at what's happening here with the artificial attachment, I tell my kids this all the time. I'm like, and I use these phrases, you know, these people aren't real. Like, they just want you to watch them because they want the likes and they get sponsorships. They're like, yeah, we know. I'm like, okay, so just so we're on the same page, because we'll be touching grass in 20 minutes. You know what I mean? And we're going to go do something. And as we look at this, think about these things. Here, when you have the human relationship, it's two-way. It's messy. You got to learn how to work things out. When you look at the artificial, when they're on technology, the digital play, it's one way. There's a whole skill base that's lost there. When you look at this, what it's called, reciprocity, two-way, one-way, empathy, real. When you're in the human realm, when you're working it out, when people are going down, even though Eli's like looking at Elle bleeding out, you know, basically, he's like, Mom, that's you. He still is watching. He's still, I mean, like we're working together, even though he's like, need to get down that hill. And I did. But I'm like, there's something that happens. And even for her, she did the wrong thing. Okay? She knew that was off limits, but she's always going to, I mean, Elle's always going to test you. She's going to say, I think I can get that. And as she goes down, she still knows, Mom's coming. Come on. See, there's lessons that are taught that happen in real time, in real life, that have to be there. And I'm not here to condemn anyone. I'm here to say, let's be aware. And we would not want this pollinating our children to an extent. Do my kids, yes, they watch the pads. Yes. You know, they do certain things. Of course. I mean, I'm saying of course because I'm owning it. Because yours may not. I say yay you because I'm still trying to figure that out. But as we look at here, real emotion versus simulated program response, conflict, essential growth, even the yucky stuff. What do they always say when people are counseling? Even if you're fighting, not abuse, but fighting, at least you're talking versus silence and no communication. And when we look at these digital play aspects, we must be up on it because this conflict is essential for growth. And this whole nature element, when you look at this, the dynamic and the authenticity of real life and how it requires people to call audibles, like we did this morning with the word, like we call audibles, we do things differently, we regroup, we thought it was going to be this, but see, with the digital play, it's super predictable. And then you want to talk about the algorithms, right? On how they're tracking your kids. And you might say, oh, Rhonda, I'm just being honest with you. As a mom, this is what I'm processing. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to tell you this is what is happening for me. And I'm sharing it with you because I think we need to be aware that not only do we need to be involved in pollinization of ourselves, so we have something like the bee to give away, but we need to be careful of what other things are speaking into the lives of our kids. I loved, Eli said they went to DC. I think, yeah. Liam, did you have a good time? Yeah, you guys are right in a row. Okay, yeah. And
Eli said to me, we love the barbecue, or he did. I love the barbecue. And he said, you know what was cool? And I thought this was so great. I considered this like a win. He said, we had to leave our phones on the bus and we just went out. And he said, I played like baseball, softball, something like that, and other things. He said, it was a really good time. I was appreciative of that. While they're in Washington, D.C., out about, I was appreciative of that he recognized, even though he won't give me that. But touching the grass was a good thing. It was a valuable thing. And as we continue, moms, to move in some really challenging times, he'll help us. He'll help us. As we commit to be present, as we commit to take care of the soil and to allow pollinization to occur in the right ways, he's going to help us. And as the worship team comes back, and then I just want to say this on this next slide. I want to speak to the girls here today of all ages and stages that there is a part of your garden that looks empty. You know, there can be things happening in the gardens of our lives that this thing is blooming and really awesome, and this thing looks barren. You know what I'm saying? The layers. Because we're made up of all kinds of complexities of family, career, school, dreams, health, relationship, finances, all of it. So there can be different garden beds for all of that. And some can be in full bloom and things are happening in really good ways. And others, it just is like, what's up? But I want to speak to you directly. If there's an area that just looks like, man, this isn't happening, what is going on? In Job 14, 7 through 9, it says, its roots may grow old in the ground and its stump die in the soil, yet at the scent of water it will bud and put forth branches like a plant. I want to encourage you, if you're in a place and you've done soil testing and you're allowing all kinds, you know, this is my worm, right? And you're allowing all kinds of things to happen under the surface in your life and the pollinization is happening and you still are like, what's going on? Can I tell you, within the pages of God's word, the small sprig is a powerful symbol. It's a theme within the word of God that there will be growth, there will be renewal, and there is divine potential. So I want you to look at that bed again. And I want you to think in this way. God's for you. And he's moving. And keep looking for the sprig. I say this to Brad sometimes. There are times because the enemy comes to rob, kill, and destroy girls. That's what he does. And so he doesn't want you to see the sprig. He wants you to see all the things that haven't bloomed. He wants you to say, look at this situation. It's bad. There's no hope. You stand and you look and you say, but I see a sprig. I believe in life. Yeah. Because you know, and I'm not going to make you, all of us have a bed, a garden bed. It doesn't look the way we want it to look. And we've worked hard. But what does it say in the Word of God? When you've done everything you know to do, stand. You stand. And as you stand, you look with eyes of faith. And you believe. I used to do that. I'll out myself one more time when I would garden. It's gotten away from me in the last several years. But I would go out in March and I would move the mulch and I would see, because I had certain plants I was looking for. I always planted at the house on Kenyon a bleeding heart in memory of my grandma. And I would go and move it and I'd say, it's not time yet. Almost, stay down there. And I would say to some of you today, go and move the mulch a little bit. He's present. And there's something coming because he's faithful. He hasn't forgotten you. He knows you by name. And we believe that he is for us. And so as we close today, ladies, I'm going to ask you just to come forward. And we're going to close. I don't always do that, but we're going to close. And I want to seal it. And that's why I said, honey, you really, like, we're mirroring the closings. It's all good. So ladies, would you stand today? Girls, moms, all of us, female in orientation. And would you just come and line the front? And as we think about how our garden grows, I want you to think about what he says. And if you need to say, Lord, I just need the soil of my life to look different. If you need to say, man, the pollinization of my life, it needs to be, I'm lacking in here, or God, help me to give it away to my kids. Make it personal. There's no cookie cutter in this. He's got such a thing for you, such a thing for me. Unique, special, because we want our gardens to grow. And so we're going to sing. You might want to just soak it in. It's okay. And Julia, who do I have up here? Yep. The girls. Yay. I said to Brad, we're going to do a girls band, like, kind of thing. But gentlemen on the instruments, we appreciate you. Okay. And so as you are released, you can go. Make sure you pick up your prize if that was you. Don't leave it behind. Take some cool photos. Celebrate moms and mothers. I pray you have an amazing day. And I mean that. And kids that are here, tell them.